you know, we're singing a lot about faithfulness, and Daniel's inviting people down front to pray for many different things, but he also mentioned there to pray for healing. And a lot of what just happened this morning already in the parking lot, I know for some of you, and even for myself included, like, when we hear about how good God is and how faithful he is and how powerful he is to help or to change things, it can trigger some pain in us sometimes. Sometimes we got some sort of wound in our past, and we hear all this good stuff about God, or we read something good about God, and there's a part of us that thinks that's too good to be real, or that's not for me in some way. And a friend of mine in Sunday school just a few minutes ago was talking about whenever things have started to go good in his life, he would self-sabotage out of, like, just, this is too good, and I'm just going to blow it up. And for some of you, that might be where you're at. For me, the passage of scripture that we're going to primarily focus on today, it triggers some hard questions for me about Jesus. And so we're going to start by trying to clear away our own woundedness so we can see the real Jesus. Because sometimes our scars keep us from seeing what's real. We got to say, Jesus, here's my pain and here's the way I'm scarred, but I want the real you. So that's what we're going to start with today. You guys will start that with me. And so the passage that we're focused on this whole series is in Colossians. It's talking about how putting on Jesus, and it describes all these traits of Jesus. When we read it today, maybe you have a hard time accepting that Jesus wants to treat you in these ways. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord Jesus forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. That's Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Today, we're going to focus on that second trait, that kindness. And how can we be clothed with the kindness of Jesus? And we're going to look at a passage about Jesus' kindness. But as you guys worship today, we praise God for his faithfulness. Maybe for some of you, you're worried about, is God really kind in my life? Is God really going to be kind towards me? And maybe in the past, you have some questions about that. We're going to read a passage in the Gospel of Luke. And the thing that I need to clear away whenever I read this passage is some experiences I had in my 20s. All through my life, I've been, some people I've loved have suffered with some illnesses. And that's been all through my life, actually, when I think back over. But in my 20s, there were three different men that I knew who were very noble, very faithful to Jesus. And all of them fought a fight with cancer in a very faithful to Jesus way. And all of them suffered, and I got to be there around them as they withered and died. And I know that they're with Jesus. But watching these really great Christian men, like, struggle and wither physically, it really wounded me and messed me up about healing and about Jesus showing up and fixing people, because I just watched the healings I was praying for not happen. Now, that's my own woundedness and scarredness, but I bet every single person here has been through some sort of pain that makes it hard for you to trust that Jesus is all the Bible says that he is. So whether your hang-up is my hang-up or not, I want you to really think about that. What's in you from your past? What's a scar that you carry that makes it hard for you to trust all the good things the Bible says about Jesus? So I'm going to read us a passage. It triggers my own issues, okay? I've got it here in the Bible, but I've been struggling with the wind when we've been outside, so I'm trying a new system on reading, so I've got to print it out as well. We're in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 17. I'm going to read this whole passage. I want you to try to picture it in your mind. It's an outside moment, just like we're outside right now. And it says, soon after, Jesus went to a town called Nain with his disciples, and a large crowd went along with Jesus. As Jesus approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So you guys can picture that pretty quickly, even without knowing everything about the scene. You picture a mom whose son is dead, only son, and her husband has already died. It says that a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, talking about Jesus, Jesus' heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier where they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout through Judea and the surrounding country. So these stories of Jesus showing up and seeing someone tragically dead and saying, "I'm going to raise this person from the dead." When I read that through my 20s, I struggled with it. The sanctuary that we're going to be remodeling, one of my most vivid memories of it is being in there with Josh Monk's casket, and I prayed this silly prayer of, like, I'm no super healer man, but, like, I knew Jesus can resurrect people. I prayed for Josh to be resurrected. I know that sounds silly, but I wanted it, and I thought, I'm going to ask. But that didn't happen, as you guys know. Josh obviously resurrected with Jesus in heaven, but I just mean, like, I wanted him physically to get out of that coffin. He was there in the coffin that moment. This guy physically got up off of the thing they're carrying him on. So when I would read that, I would think, like, why does Jesus do it in this moment and not in these other moments? And at one point, I thought, well, Jesus is, from a human perspective at this point, he thinks healing is the right thing to do. But maybe from a heavenly perspective, it's not always right. I don't know. I have lots of thoughts. I've spent a lot of time on it. Here's what it boils down to, is I think whatever your wound is, I don't think there's a logical thing that's going to clear away your wound. I don't think I can get out a dry erase board or a math formula and say, this thing that hurts you, that left scars on you, here's how it's okay. I don't think I can, like, undo it with that, right? And I don't have an answer for Nathan or Josh or Joey, these different men in my life. Here's what I will say that I think our songs today were talking about, and that God constantly reminds me about, is I have had many, many more experiences with Jesus where Jesus has built my trust. Jesus hasn't always saved or fixed every problem the way I wanted him to. But where time and time again, Jesus has shown me he knows better than I do. He really sees me. He really does set me free if I'll obey him and trust him. And something to make it easier on me, Nathan, Joey, and Josh all walked through their illnesses without wavering with Jesus. You know, they didn't doubt Jesus in the midst of everything they went through. So I don't know what your issue is today with Jesus, but the first thing I want to tell you is that Jesus really is kind, like Colossians describes him as. Some of us have walked through life and we've not taken hold of that about Jesus. That there really is the God who created everything has kindness towards you. A lot of us have not accepted that. We've accepted some other pieces of who Jesus is, but we haven't accepted that Jesus really has kindness, even though there's a lot of pain in this world, even though there's a lot of suffering, and even though we have a lot of questions about what God does with his power. The Bible tells us Jesus is kind towards us, that his heart went out to that widow, and I believe that his heart goes out to every single one of you in whatever pain that you have gone through. Now, here's the deal. I do want to share about this kindness from Jesus in this story, is there's a lot of people that die during Jesus' day. Jesus doesn't do that many resurrections in the Gospels. There's a lot of people that are sick. Sometimes Jesus walks through a crowd of sick people and heals one person. And it's like, what? Why was that the way that worked? Sometimes Jesus heals somebody and then sees them later that day and is like, stop sinning. You're going to slip worse. He's like, you healed a guy who then just went out and ran a monk? Like, that was the guy that Jesus picked to heal? And it was. Here's what I want to tell you, a couple more points. Before we get there, though, you hopefully looked at some sort of pain in your own heart. And I want to give us a minute to just you and Jesus, for you to say, Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to choose to trust you. That's what faith is. It's choosing to trust. So I'm going to pray, but if you guys would bow your heads, it only matters if you pray it as well. Jesus, we have all been through some pain. Jesus, I'm not claiming any of us deserve a good life, but we all have scars. But Jesus, we trust that you are kind. We trust that your heart goes out to us. And Jesus, we put our trust for our future in your good hands. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So if we've cleared that woundedness at least to the side, not necessarily fixed it, but we've replaced it with trust. Somebody else in Sunday school was talking about they used to use the drawer in their house that used to be full of drugs. They now put a picture of their family in that drawer.
Amen.
They said, I'm not just going to get rid of the bad, I'm going to put something good there. And you've got a scar, but hopefully you've covered that scar with trust. That's a lot of times what we can give to God. We can't give him a master understanding, but we can say, I'm going to trust you further than I can see. I'm going to trust you further than I feel. Even. So here's the thing I want to point out about this passage with Jesus is when Jesus gives kindness to this lady, the whole countryside starts praising God. It says God is here and God's for us. Now here's where Jesus' kindness is different than the off-brand human version, just human-powered kindness. I have seen a lot of people out of kindness try to do something for somebody else, and the result is they shame that person, or they make that person super mad, or they hurt that person and extend their addiction and enable them. I've seen a lot of kindness actually hurt people. A lot of people in well-meaning intentions have tried to help somebody else, and they've actually wounded either that person or somebody else in the name of kindness. Jesus' kindness doesn't destroy people, right? Jesus' kindness doesn't shipwreck people. When Jesus shows kindness to somebody, it helps that person come to where they need to be. Romans describes God's kindness as it leads us to repentance. Think about when you've been kind in your life. Have you typically led someone to realize they're wrong, and they need to leave the ways of death and destruction, and they need to do different things to have life and goodness? I mean, that's what repentance is. Most of the kindness I offer does not do a 180 with people. It doesn't give people a chance to new life. I'll give you an example of human kindness that went astray, that was really well-meaning. When I was working in Mexico, I was living down there as a missionary. I was part of maybe 40 or so houses that got built. People would have, in this little town I was in, they would have houses built out of pallets like this, or just really random stuff thrown together, and it just shacks, you know, that people were living in. And so one of these times we would build this house, me and a group of high school, you know, youth group type of kids would build a house in about 4.5 days. So it's not very much to look at. It's just this little concrete structure, 12 foot by 16 foot, like real small for a family to live in. But it was waterproof and windproof and secure, and families were happy to get them typically. But there's this one family I'll never forget. We're doing this house dedication. All the youth group kids are excited. The mom and the kids are all excited. They're getting the keys to the house. It's this kind of movie moment of the week. And everyone's real excited about this house we built. But I am looking around. I've been at a lot of these house dedications, so I'm not really into like all the like excited moment as much. I'm kind of paying attention to what's happening on the peripheral. And over on the side of the property is the dad of the family. And the dad of the family has this like super sad, depressed, despondent, not talking to anybody the whole time, looking at the ground, head down. And the thing that occurs to me is that down in the little town I was in Mexico, almost every guy I met was far better at construction than me, just knew how to work with concrete in great ways. And I'm looking at the house we just built, and I realize we just tore down the shack that this guy built all by himself. Tore it down. We built something that's not the best put together. I mean, it's fine, but it's made by me in high schoolers, so it's not. He could have done it better with the materials. And his family's all excited about it. And this guy has just got a lot of shame. I mean, you just see it. It's like a dictionary picture of shame. And I had been in that town long enough, and I was starting to speak enough Spanish to know, like, the real issue in this town is not that people are living in shacks. The real issue is there's a lot of drunkenness, and there's a lot of dads that are having a hard time being a part of their families. What I realized is, like, we tried really hard to help this family in the last 4.5 days, which right there, human version of kindness. We're going to show up and help you a lot. We got less than a week worth of investment in this. You know? And that's not godly kindness. God doesn't show up just for 4.5 days. But what I saw is, like, we may have made this family much worse by giving them this house. Because if we pushed that dad away from this family, where every time he's in this house, he's going to feel shame, then we've hurt the family. We've not helped them. Even though we've been kind on a human level, we hurt the family rather than help them. And I bet if you will soul search through your past, and if you're a little bit paying attention at least to how things play out, you probably can come up with times where you've really tried to help somebody, and it wasn't selfish, you weren't trying to get something over on them, you were really trying to help, and now you can look back and see, like, that actually hurt more than it helped. That is what we do when we try to do good by ourselves, or even well-meaning Christians try to do good. If Jesus isn't empowering something, it just doesn't do lasting good, and a lot of times it hurts people. There's literally nothing wrong with any of these high school kids that tried to help. Like, they did good work. I don't even think there was anything wrong with any of us we're trying to do, but we weren't being kind the way that Jesus is kind. Because see, when Jesus is in the middle of a kindness, it does what this passage says it does. It fills people with awe. They praise God, and they have this idea that God has come to help us, that God is for us. It leads people to a new relationship with God, or at least gives them an open door to that. God doesn't force it on them. So let me tell you another story, just because it's the exact same scenario, but Jesus is more involved. It's the only difference. I was at a different house dedication, same event, end of the week, dedicating a house for some family, but we have this lady there whose house had been built 4 years before, and she gives a testimony during the house dedication. I've shared this before because it's really touched me, but, like, she stops during the house dedication. She looks around at these four concrete walls. I'm going to get tangled up, but I got to look around. And she said, every morning when I wake up and I see these four concrete walls, I know that God loves me. And then she went on to describe how she was a little girl and she'd always lived in shacks and she'd always dreamed of living in a house with solid walls. And so this same type of high schoolers, same type of, like, 20-something little foreman guy had done the exact same thing. But in this instance, God had gotten involved on a promise, or on a dream, really. I don't know that God had even made her the promise. But God knew that little girl's dream. God had been around for 30 years or whatever of her life. And God had been faithful to give her this dream. And the thing that changed her life was that every morning she knew the kindness of God through these concrete walls. So the thing is, you cannot force that to happen. If I could have bottled that up and done that at every house, then we would have done it, right? You can't bottle up the kindness of Jesus and, like, mass produce it or force it out. The way Jesus' kindness gets through is when a group of Christians use their gifts together. That's when Jesus' kindness comes out. When you wake up in the morning and you have Colossians 3, 12 through 14, you focus on that. You say, Jesus, please clothe me with your kindness. Jesus' kindness literally does come through people. That's how he chooses to work. He has said specifically, like, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you guys, and I want to flow through you. So the type of kindness that the world needs, it's meant to come through people like us. But you can't just good intention your way to that sort of kindness. If you do, you actually will hurt people that you want to help. So it's not even so much about the externals or what you're doing. It's about, are you in step with Jesus yourself? So here's the thing. If you're here today and you're like, well, Jake, what do I do? What do I do with that? My guess is that you probably, if you're sitting here at church, you know somebody else who cares about Jesus. And what if this week, you and somebody else would start to pray, Jesus, clothe us with your kindness. Help me to be kind when you want me to be kind. Help me to say the thing you want me to say. Help me to give the thing you want me to give. Because it's not typically you having this mastermind or great idea. It's the right person at the right moment in the right way. And only the Holy Spirit can figure that stuff out. Right? But he likes to work through Christians who are asking to be worked through. And he loves to work through groups of Christians. Because when a group of us do something together, there's no hero. There's no, I'm so great. It gets a lot more pointed to Jesus is so great. And especially if we don't look like each other and we're working together, people start to realize, like, only God does that sort of stuff. Right? So we all decided to wear clothes today. That's a great thing, right? We really disrupted church today. That wasn't true. Just one of us, right? But for all honesty, like, we wouldn't have noticed if one of us didn't clothe ourselves with Jesus today, right? Like, we might not even notice, right? If we've got no clothing of Jesus on us, right? When you go through this week, like, let your physical clothes be that reminder of, I need to put Jesus on today. If I'm putting clothes on, I need to say, Jesus, if all you can remember is kindness, Jesus, put your kindness through me. Last week we talked about compassion. Jesus, put your compassion through me. Okay. Today, we're going to end with, I believe, just one baptism. I know Sean's here. Matthew, I don't know if Matthew. I don't think Matthew's here today, so it's just going to be Sean. But here's the deal with baptism. We love having baptisms, and I love that folks are brave enough to be baptized in cold water. I love being pastor at Maywood or coach at Maywood. Last week, I felt like such a bonehead when it started to rain, being technically in charge of things and like it's raining. And you guys all stayed and you worshiped. It's one of those moments of like a...
Amen.
Yeah. It's one of those moments where it's like I feel dumb and I feel so happy to be a part of Maywood. And honestly, that's one of the right parts for me to have.
We love you, Coach Jake.
You know, I'm like, what a great place. What a great group of people. Yeah, right? And we don't have to be smart to be in love with Jesus. We don't have to have a perfect plan to change people. We have to have Jesus, right? And baptism is this wonderful symbol. It's like a marriage celebration for us. It's somebody saying publicly, I've made that commitment. I'm going down into the water. I'm dying to my old life. And I believe Jesus is going to raise me to new life. And that new life will be eternal. So that new life starts with Jesus here on earth.
Jesus.
Everything being new because Jesus is making it new inside of us. And Sean has this awesome story. His cousin Kyle is going to baptize him. I'm going to hand it off to Kyle if I can. I don't know where Kyle's at. I'm going to hand it off to Carla.
Go on, do it.
Okay, well, it's at least a beautiful sunny day, even though the water's going to be cold. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Carla Rose, and my husband Brian and I teach a baptism class. We just want to make sure that you guys know what you're doing when you want to be baptized. When we first started this, it was like a three-week class, but honestly, we've got it honed down now. We do it in one class, and it's a very simple, basic class, and we just want to make sure you know what you're doing. So this week, we have Mr. Sean Osborne. We talked to him for We talked to him for an hour and a half. He's currently a Good Foundation. He's been there over 90 days and doing very well.
Hallelujah.
And we asked him, what was the point in your life where you knew that you needed Jesus? And he said, well, when I was about 12, I went to a Christian concert. I hadn't really been exposed to much in that way. And he says, the Christian concert was really like emotional. And he goes, that was kind of my first experience with God. He goes, I didn't make any decisions or anything at that time. He goes, but from then on, I always felt this thing in my heart. And he goes, and especially when I was doing stuff I wasn't supposed to, I felt this thing in my heart. And he goes, now I'm to the point where I'm just tired of living the life that I'm living. And I just tell God every day, I need you. He goes, I get up every morning and I listen to I Can Only Imagine and Chain Breaker. And he goes, I have my time with God, and I just know I need God every day. He goes, I don't want to go back to the way I was, and this is the path I really want to be on. So Kyle is his cousin. Kyle's always been a big influence in his life. They're 10 years apart. They're more like brothers than cousins. So Kyle's going to baptize him, but he's very good friends with Shalene, and Shalene's going to pray for him.
Be long-winded up there for obvious reasons, but if I'm a little long-winded here, forgive me, because I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit would pray for me, because I just want to pray the things over God's life that the Lord would have for him. So, first of all, Father God, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for your relentless pursuit after our lives, Lord. Father God, I just thank you that you are in control of all things, Lord, and that Father God, that I thank you that Sean has responded to the call that you've placed on his life, Father God. I thank you that, Lord, he has turned from his wicked ways and he's looking to you for guidance and just help and salvation, Lord, that we could be with you for all of eternity. I thank you that, Lord, he is responding to that in obedience. Father God, I just ask right now that you would continue to place kingdom-minded men in Sean's life, that they would just influence him in a mighty way, that they would encourage him to read his word, to read your word, Lord, that they would be builders of foundations rather than people who come into his life and tear his foundations down, Lord. I just pray that you would, God, I thank you for the restoration of family, Lord, that you have rejoined Sean and Kyle, Lord, and you, Lord, that they could both live righteously before you, Lord, yeah. And that they could be empty vessels to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that that you would just fill Sean up with your Holy Spirit, Father God. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just continue to remind him of his need for you every single day, Lord. God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for Sean. I thank you that you would just continue to turn your face towards Sean, and that Sean would see his your favor in his life, Lord, and that he would never turn away from you, Father God. God, I just thank you that you love us. You love each and every single one of us, God. I thank you for Sean's response to your calling, Father God. I just pray that you would continue to grow Sean and that you would continue to bless his life, Father God. I pray that he would not be moved by the winds, Lord, that he would just remain firm in your word, Lord. God, I pray that you would just continue to encourage Sean each and every day to move closer and closer to you, Lord, and in return, you will move closer and closer to him. God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you for this time. I thank you that Sean is coming into this commitment with you, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would just use him. I thank you that you are using him. And Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yep. That is a great day. And yeah, answer to many prayers. So continue the celebration. We do have some food. Hang out. Enjoy each other. I'm going to pray for our food and enjoy the day. Jesus, thank you so much for Maywood. And God, thank you for Jesus. He is truly kind and loves us. Thank you for Sean's new life. Thank you for new life here at Maywood. Thank you for this food. Amen.